As we think of the gospel, I would like to read a story that is probably very familiar with everyone here tonight. It's found in Luke chapter 19, in the first 10 verses. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I've spoken many times from this story, and I think that I might speak many times yet on this story, because it is a remarkable story. It's a story of a man seeking the Lord Jesus Christ. He was seeking a man seeking a Savior, and the seeking Savior found him. And we read, and then the thing that has impressed me this evening concerning the gospel meaning is the fourth verse. And Zacchaeus ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And this evening, I would like to bring before you three trees that we have in Scripture. Three trees where individuals stood at the foot of those trees and they made a decision. The first tree I would like to bring before you is the tree in Eden's garden. I have a little representative, the tree in the Garden of Eden. And we read in Genesis chapter 2 these words, and the Lord God took man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now there was that tree in the garden. Adam was put into that garden with three tasks before him. Three simple things. First of all, he was to cultivate the garden. Now, of those of you who may have a garden at home, you cultivate it. You have to go to that garden every day. There are certain things that must be taken care of. And Adam likely did that. The second thing he was to do was he was to shepherd the animals. And we read in chapter 2 and verse 19, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. So Adam was to to cultivate the garden. He was to shepherd the animals. And the third thing, he was to obey the Lord. And the Lord gave him one command: of all the trees in the garden thou mayest surely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof. And Adam, and I think of this, that as Adam lived, was in the garden, cultivating the garden and looking after the garden, that many, many times he probably came and stood at the foot of that tree. He would look at that tree and see that it had a good abundance of fruit. And he would have seen it as a tree of beauty. And it would attract his attention. And you know, I think he often went by that tree, stopped at that tree. Why do I think that? Because when Satan came, Adam and Eve were at the foot of the tree. And Satan was able to tempt him to eat of the fruit of the tree because he was there at the foot of the tree. And I think of that verse, he that being often reproved hardens his conscience. And there are others in the Bible who hardened their conscience because they put themselves in danger over and over and over again. And as Adam looked at that tree, there was a question that would come to his mind. Who would rule in his life? Who would have rule? His mind or his soul? Which one would rule? The mind is seen in the intellect in the pursuit of knowledge. And the soul is linked with godliness and the pursuit of God. Who would he? Would he take of the fruit of the tree? Would he pursue after intellect? Because it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, of knowledge. But the tragic thing is that Adam chose the pursuit of intellect. You see, when Satan came to him, he tempted him and he could say, thou shalt know good and evil. You'll be wise. And when Adam saw that it was a tree that was desired to make one wise, in disobedience, he rejected the word of God and he ate of the fruit. And the consequences have come down to you and I today. For we can read in Romans chapter 5, and it says, whereas as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I think of the words of David, and he understood that. And he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And what David was saying is that sin has formed, shaped my character. And in sin did my mother conceive me. And he was saying, I was born a sinner. So David was saying, I am a sinner by birth and by practice. And that tree was a tree of condemnation. And Adam sinned. And every one of us today sin. That's the first tree I would like to bring to your attention. The second tree is the tree on Mount Calvary. And that tree is a tree of obedience and sacrifice. And we read in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Who did they crucify? Well, the tree in Eden, the man at that tree was Adam. But on the tree at Calvary, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, writing in his epistle, said, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. And upon that tree, there was one who came in love for us to this world. He came at the express purpose and command of his Father. And John the Apostle could write that we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's a cross, that's a tree of salvation. And Peter, in speaking to the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, could say that he was Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. He lived a perfect life. There was no sin in him. Adam, because of the disobedience at the tree in the garden, was marked forever with sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ was always obedient. He always did that which was right in the sight of the Father. And he was marked by sinlessness and by obedience. And that tree in the Garden of Eden had many branches and much fruit. The tree at Calvary had no branches and no fruit. But it had upon that tree one who could give eternal life. Eternal life is now offered to you and to me by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of those words that John wrote, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Every one of us can be cleansed of the sins, of every sin that we have committed. And you know, there was a multitude stood at the foot of that tree. This was a multitude that made a decision. We will not have this man. Crucify him, crucify him. And you know, if you reject Christ as your Savior, you are in company with them. You are saying, crucify him. I don't want him. But that tree at Calvary spoke of the love of God for us. God loved us so much that he sent his Son into the world. God has demonstrated his love for you tonight. Have you ever appreciated the fact that as you sit in a gospel meeting, you are a recipient of the love of God? For in the book of Jeremiah, God says these things. The Lord God says these things. Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And he has drawn you to this meeting tonight. that you would hear of your need of a Savior, of your need of salvation, that you would trust him, and that you, and we think of the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Titus, and he's explaining about the gospel, and he says that after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Salvation comes to you and I because of the mercy of God, because of the grace of God. And so we think of that tree where the Savior died, that you and I might live. But we read in Luke chapter 19 about a third tree. And that's the third tree that I would like to bring before you. And that's the tree upon which Zacchaeus climbed. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And Jesus came to the place. And I see two things in this, what we have read so far. We see Zacchaeus was seeking Jesus, and Jesus was seeking him. And they met. And the Lord came to the foot of that tree, and he didn't pass on. But he stopped, and he looked up, and he looked at him. And I think of that look that he gave him must have been a tremendous look of love, that it melted the heart of Zacchaeus. And it reminds me, as the Lord was in the judgment hall, and he turned and he looked at Peter, and it must have been a look of love, and it melted the heart of Peter. And I think of that when the Lord stood at the foot of that tree and he looked at Zacchaeus, it melted Zacchaeus's heart. And it says, and he saw him. He appealed to him. His very look was a look of invitation. And then he spoke to him. And he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And you think of that. What has happened? The Lord Jesus has given an invitation, and he's giving an invitation to you and I, to everyone this evening. And I think again of those words in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me. And that's what he's saying. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And when I think of that verse, come unto me, I think of two of the Lord's disciples, John and Andrew. For the Lord looked at them and he gave that invitation to them. Come. And they followed him. And they were with him that whole day. Come. That's our illustration of the ones answering that call in Matthew. Come. And they came. And they dwelt with him. They dwelt, and it says in John that they dwelt with him that day. But you know, they were with him for 3.5 years. They never left him. He became so precious to them. And John the Apostle was impressed with this thing, that he was a disciple whom Jesus loved. He was impressed with the love of Christ for him. When we look at this man Zacchaeus, it says he was very rich. The things of the world he had. There was nothing he needed that the world could supply. But there was an emptiness in his heart. There was an emptiness in his soul. He knew that he needed something more. And I think of that rich young ruler that came and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He had everything he needed. But there was an emptiness in his heart. And that emptiness could only be supplied by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I could go in for the things of the world. We could pursue the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We could pluck off a fruit and say, "Will that now give me the knowledge of all the things of chemistry and physics?" You might advance as far as the world is concerned in that. But still there will be an emptiness in your heart and a lack of something. But then as well, it tells us that he was hated of the people. They thought that he was the second greatest sinner that you ever could find in the world. To be a Roman was the greatest sinner. And the second greatest would be a tax collector. He was a great, great sinner. There's nothing he could do that would please the people. But there's a man who had an emptiness in his heart, who knew he was a sinner. And at the foot of that tree, he found the Savior. Zacchaeus had run before that multitude. Why had he run before that multitude and climbed the tree? Because the people were hindering him from approaching the Savior. And you know, the people of the world, friends, relatives, they will all stand in the way of you accepting Christ. And he had to be determined to be saved. And so he ran before. And because he ran before and because he climbed that tree, he met the Savior. He received salvation. He received eternal life. He heard and he listened to that word come down. Have you ever listened to the Savior's word, "Come unto me"? You know, I think of those words in Revelation chapter 3. Those were words that were spoken to believers, but they could also apply to those who know not Christ as their Savior. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice," and that tells me this, that not only is he knocking, prompting you, touching your conscience, telling you when you do the things that are wrong, every time you are reminded that you've done the wrong thing, it's God speaking to you through your conscience. Your mother or your father may tell you to do something, and you don't do it. And then you're regret not having done it. And what is that? Your conscience. God speaking to you, telling you that you are a sinner before him. But that verse also says, not only is he prompting you, knocking at your door through your conscience, but he's speaking to you. You come to a gospel meeting. You come to a meeting and you hear the way of salvation. And he desires to save you. This man received the grace of God. By receiving the grace of God, the mercy of God was also shown to him, because he deserved punishment. But that punishment, that consequences of his sin, were laid on the one on the cross of Calvary. And it was all because of the love of God. And I would like to remind you again that there are three choices that you can make. You can make the choice of Adam at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and go in for the things of the world and lose out on your soul's salvation. Or you can make the choice of Zacchaeus on the tree of Jericho and come down, come to the Savior. Let us pray.